Hello, you're listening to Microbe Talk. I'm Charlie.
And I'm Charlotte. And you might have been hearing a lot about polio in the news recently. So today we're speaking to Professor Nicola Stonehouse, who works on the polio vaccines. And we're going to try and find out a bit more about what's going on with polio at the moment.
We're recording this from the Microbiology Society offices via Zoom, so apologies in advance if you hear any noises in the background.
So, Professor Stonehouse, people might have been hearing a lot about polio recently in the news, so we wanted to ask some questions about what polio is. To begin with, could you tell us what causes polio?
So polio is caused by a virus, a poliovirus. It's a small RNA virus. There are actually three different types of polio. They're called polio 1, 2 and 3. And this virus infects children predominantly and is spread really, really easily.
So what's the difference between polios 1, 2 and 3?
So they're different serotypes. So what that means is that infection with one doesn't give you protection but getting infected by another one. So the vaccines, therefore, are a mixture of protection for all three serotypes. However, polio types 2 and 3 are considered eradicated in the wild.
You said polio spreads really easily. How does it spread?
So it spreads by what we call the oral fecal route. So through contaminated water, sewage, through person-to-person contact, within a family, polio can spread really, really easily. I should also add that for most people who get polio, it's not an issue. It causes symptoms that are very similar to the common cold. It can give you a little bit of a tummy upset. But it really doesn't cause a lot of problems. It's only in a small number of people that polio, instead of staying in the gut, where it normally sets up an infection, moves to the nerves. And when it does that, it can cause permanent or temporary or permanent paralysis, and in some cases, death. It's probably worth pointing out that before we had vaccines, infection with polio was actually the primary cause of disability worldwide. So disability was caused as a result of infection by a virus.
Gosh, I didn't know that at all.
No, I didn't know that either. So you say for most people, polio is generally harmless. But if people are concerned that they might have symptoms of polio, when should they seek advice?
So at the moment, we have very few cases of wild polio worldwide. When to seek advice is if you have some of the neurological symptoms. And this is particularly in children, and if those children are not fully vaccinated. So for the majority of people who are fully vaccinated against polio, it really doesn't pose a risk at all. The polio vaccines work really well. And so if you are fully vaccinated against polio, you will be protected. But for very young children, for children who might have missed some of their childhood vaccines over the last couple of years, which is completely understandable, then it's that sort of paralysis that is that warning sign, those neurological issues.
You've mentioned a few times now the polio vaccine. Could you talk us through what vaccines there are available for polio at the moment and how safe they are?
Sure. So worldwide, we're really using two sorts of vaccine. And the use of these vaccines is the reason why we don't see lots of polio around now. So there is an inactivated vaccine. So this is basically taking lots of virus and killing it, inactivating it. And that's what we're using now in the UK, in Europe, in the US, and indeed in most of the world. And this has to be given by injection. And it's given, started off very early in infancy and given to babies as part of the childhood vaccination programme. We also have an oral polio vaccine, and that's something that was used really very widely during the early days of the polio vaccination campaign. It's really easy to deliver because it can be given just as a drop on the tongue or as a sugar lump on a sugar lump. And I think many people of my age remember being given their polio vaccine on a sugar lump. So this is actually a live vaccine. So it is an attenuated virus. It means the virus has got lots and lots of mutations, which means that it shouldn't cause you disease. But it's transmitted in the same way, it's given to you in the same way as you would get polio infection, i.e. through your mouth. So as I say, it's really, it's a very good vaccine, but it does have some disadvantages. In fact, both of the vaccines have disadvantages. You have to make both of them from virus. So we have to have lots and lots of virus being grown under high containment, and that's risky. And the oral polio vaccine comes with another problem, and that is that some people shed the vaccine in their stools after being vaccinated, and some people can do that for quite a long time. So these people can be immunosuppressed, so they're basically excreting what we call vaccine-derived polio. And in a world where everyone's vaccinated, that's not going to cause a problem because you're fully protected against polio. But in a world where everyone isn't vaccinated, then those people who are producing polio back into the environment create a risk.
Okay, so how big of a problem is polio across the world?
So wild type polio, is an ever-decreasing problem. So now there are only two countries in the world where we find wild polio endemic. That is Pakistan and Afghanistan. Until relatively recently, Nigeria was on that list too, but Nigeria has been declared polio free in the last few years. So that's a great achievement. However, we get outbreaks for two reasons. We get outbreaks of wild polio because of migration of people, and also people who are excreting vaccine-derived polio may not know it, and they, of course, can set up vaccine-derived polio outbreaks in areas where there is low vaccine coverage.
So just to clarify what you were saying there, because I think that's such an important point, isn't it? So these vaccine-derived polio outbreaks, crucially, if everyone were to be vaccinated, they wouldn't be a problem.
They wouldn't be a problem at all, absolutely. And the person who might be the sort of the root cause of this might also not know that they are.
So if polio is only endemic to two countries, why are we hearing about it again so much in the news now?
So we've always known about the risk of this sort of vaccine-derived polio. So from people who've had the polio vaccine, who shed polio in their stools. And indeed, some people can do that for many, many years, 30 odd years, some people can do that. However, this is monitored. Many countries monitor, including the UK. And because of the really sensitive surveillance, therefore, we're able to see whether there are any new cases of polio found in the sewage. Why it's a concern at the moment is that what we're seeing is sequences from polio type 2. Now, bearing in mind, wild polio type 2 is eradicated, so that always causes a bit more concern. And not just one sequence. We're seeing a number of sequences that have evidence that what we're seeing is transmission. So therefore, what this is likely to mean is that there is one or a couple of people who have been producing polio type 2, and that is being spread to their close contacts.
So the sewage is regularly monitored for polio outbreaks, and what has been seen recently, which is not necessarily unusual, has been some polio type 2 found in the sewage, which suggests someone is infected with polio type 2.
Not infected, but they're not infected, they're shedding polio.
They're so shedding polio.
Yeah, they're not infected, but they are producing it, if you like. They've become little factories.
Okay, so they've had their vaccine and now they're shedding it. They're not infected, they are not experiencing symptoms themselves, they're just shedding it. And that's gone into the sewage, which we've picked up, but we're now noticing that they seem to be related across a wider distance, is that right?
Yeah, so it looks like it's not, it's because this virus mutates so readily, when you're seeing related sequences, it's unlikely that they've all come from one person. It looks like they've come from multiple people. And that therefore is most likely outcome is that what we've got is somebody who is transmitting. And then you've basically, and they're transmitting to somebody who is not vaccinated. Because if they were transmitting, if they were just spreading generally and everyone around them was vaccinated, it wouldn't be a problem. But they are probably transmitting to small children, and those children are either not vaccinated or not fully vaccinated, and therefore potentially are getting infected.
So at the moment, we've got evidence of polio in London. Is this an issue because the vaccination coverage in London is lower than other parts of the UK?
So I would say that's partly true, but not totally true. It's really that we've sampled in London. We don't sample across the UK. We sample in London and in Glasgow. And this problem has been found in London, which is therefore shows it's somewhere we've got to target. We don't know what's happening somewhere like Bradford, for example, where I live, because we haven't got the data. But I would say it's possible that we have an issue, and people who perhaps have missed taking their children to be vaccinated over the last couple of years, quite understandably so, it's really a good time now to make sure that your polio vaccines are up to date.
And right. Has anyone become ill that we know of?
No, there have been no cases of paralytic polio. So we don't know whether there are people who've had polio and just children who've got a little bit of a tummy upset. That would be data that would never be reported. But the data are consistent with that is exactly the outcome, that we're getting small children infected. And those viruses then are going back into the sewage system. And that's what we're detecting. That's not to say that there's any risk from sewage. That's not how this virus is spread. All the water is treated properly. It's a great monitoring system to show what's happening to the general population.
I guess that leads us quite nicely into the how worried should people be. Should people be worried at all if they're vaccinated, if they're not? What would you say to the public at the moment?
If you've been vaccinated, if your children have been fully vaccinated or are partway through their sort of standard course of vaccination, there is absolutely no need to worry. Polio vaccines are incredibly effective. So there is no need for concern at all. There is an extra round of boosters being offered. And I think this is the case because, you know, vaccination is quite complicated. If you have a small child, remembering exactly what they've had when, especially if you're moving around, especially given the challenges of that the health service has been under for the last couple of years. And this is if in doubt, basically get a booster. So if you're not sure, get a booster.
So there are three types of polio, and types 2 and 3 are considered eradicated as the wild types. Do we think that we'll be able to eradicate type 1? And what happens when we do? Do we start vaccinating people for polio in that case?
So it's been the aim for well over 20 years to eradicate all wild polio. It's still the aim of the World Health Organization, of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, of Rotary, to work towards that goal. However, when that happens, we will still have vaccine-derived polio cases. So some of the people who are producing vaccine-derived polio can do that for decades. And that has, as we've seen, you know, very, I think, clearly from the cases that have been picked up in sewage in London, the potential to spread. So if we then were to stop vaccinating worldwide, we could set up a very effective polio pandemic. So everybody, I think, agrees that we've got to continue vaccinating, but we need a better vaccine that isn't actually associated with virus at all. And that's the work that we're doing is trying to help with this, is produce a vaccine which is just made from protein. And so has no genetic material at all, and therefore really can't spread and cause disease. So we're trying to generate, if you like, a next generation polio vaccine that could be used, made really cheaply in the countries where it's needed particularly, and that can keep polio hopefully in people's memories rather than in the news.
Thank you very much for listening to us today. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you'd ever like to get involved, please do get in touch with us.